Good morning. I'm Tommy Scott. This is my wife, Ashley, and we have the honor and privilege of reading to you guys from the Word of God this morning from Psalm chapter 32. Where it says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. For you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble, and you surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteousness, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart."
Thank you. Well, good morning, fellowship. How are you today? So let's try that one more time. Good morning, fellowship. There we go. It's 4th of July weekend. I know you're still celebrating. We're glad that you're here today. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Justin Bilson, as Jason said. If I am new to you, you're new to me, glad to get to know you. I'm the young adult pastor. I have the privilege of serving at the West Campus, but I love getting to come to all of our campuses, especially coming to Cabot. I love this new space. I felt like I should have took my shoes off when I came in the door. I didn't, you know, you come into people's house, you don't want to step on their carpet. You know, this is the good stuff. So we love it here. We celebrate what God is doing through the campus pastor and the leadership here in Cabot. Again, we are excited to be here and to share with you God's word. Always glad to have my wife with me this morning, my son who's in FSK today. We're continuing, as you've heard already, our series through the book of Psalms. So if you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 32, verse 1 through 11. I'm not going to reread, but this is where we're going to walk through today. This is a psalm of lament. As we continue through our series, again, if you're just joining us, I want to just kind of bring you up to speed. Over the past few weeks, we have read and discussed several different types of psalms. We've looked at psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving. We've looked at wisdom psalms. We've even looked at royal psalms. And today, as we continue the conversation through the psalms or the songs, we are going to look at psalms of lament. In case you didn't know, psalms of lament were written to express deep sorrow, grief, anguish, pain in the midst of situation and trauma and trouble. And one example of this type of psalm, which is what we're going to walk through today, is Psalm 32, verse 1 through 11, where we see David discussing the pain of his own sin and relishing and celebrating in the blessing of God's forgiveness. Again, David is discussing the pain of his own sin while at the same time celebrating the blessing and the beauty of God's forgiveness. Now, it is important to note that this particular psalm is the second of seven, a total of seven psalms of lament that we will find in the Psalms. And it will serve, again, as our central passage for today. Now, as we study it, I ask that you pay close attention to how David describes God, how David describes his own feeling, his own frustration, his own dilemma and situation. It's interesting also to note how David, in the beginning, will move from emotions of grief and pain and sadness to then transitioning to the end to feelings of joy and celebration. So we have a basic understanding now. I think we know where we've been, where we are. So let's look at this Psalm of Lament in Psalm 32, verse 1 through 11. But before we do, let me pray for our time together today in God's Word. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that we have to approach your Word. I'm reminded of what David said in Psalm 119 and 105, that your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, that you illuminate the truth of your Word to us. As we look at these pages, as we look at these words, Lord, these are inspired by you, and we read them with humble hearts and with open minds to hear you speak to us today. We're all in different places and stages in our lives, but Lord, we ask that you would speak to us in a clear and real way. Lord, as the song said earlier, we need you. And so we thank you that you're going to speak to us. Even in the seasons of lament in our life, you can lift us and speak to us and bring us through these seasons. So thank you, Lord, as we seek to uncover and unpack this Psalm of Lament. Lord, guide us through. And I pray that when we leave today, we leave better than when we came. I pray that we leave challenged and charged and ready to go share this word with everyone that we meet. And I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know you, I pray that through the power of your Spirit, that you would draw them to the foot of the cross so that they can come to know Jesus as their Savior. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this time in your word as we seek to unpack the Psalm of Lament. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the text before us today, if you are familiar with it or not, David is seen lamenting before God. In case you didn't know, to lament by definition is to passionately express grief or sorrow or sadness. When a person laments, it is more often than not because of what has happened to them. Lament. A person can lament over the death of a loved one. Lament over an unfavorable health diagnosis. Lament over the loss of a job or a promotion or a relationship or a breakup or simply anything within the scope of when life happens and takes an unexpected turn. Lament is a posture of the heart, and it's something that we will all in this life encounter at some point. Lament knows no age bounds, knows no racial bounds, knows no gender bounds. Lament can affect us all. And although painful, I submit and suggest to you that lament can actually be healthy because our lament can draw us closer to God. And in doing so, he will do as Isaiah 61 and 3 says, he will provide for us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. God knows. God knows that we will lament before him when life takes an unexpected turn and we question, Lord, why? Why this? Why that? Why did it happen? But how do we lament before God when others are not the cause of our pain? When it's not a sickness, when it's not a relationship, when it's not a job, when it's not finances, when it's not anything external, but rather the lament that we feel is because of an internal choice, rather because of our own sin. Ladies and gentlemen, the passage before us today in Psalm 32, David is lamenting not because of what has been done to him, but because of what he has done. David teaches us how to lament because even in the midst of his own sinfulness, now we really don't understand or are made privy to what exactly David did. In the text, he does not outline for us what he did and where he went and what he said and what he thought that was sinful. But what we do see is that in the midst of his own sinfulness, he teaches us to turn to God and seek forgiveness. I love this text as I've been reading over it the past couple of weeks because I believe it serves as a mirror to the soul and reminds us that we all, like David, were born in sin and need Christ to transform our hearts every day. In order for transformation to take place, in order for Christ to do the work in our hearts that he desires to do, we need to come to him in humility. Now, these are not the sermon points, but I just want to show you this, that we need to come to him in humility. Humility means that I acknowledge that I need help. We need to come to him in honesty, confessing our sin before him, not hiding it, not giving a little bit and showing only what we want him to see, but coming to him in honesty, confessing our sin before him in humility, in honesty, but also in vulnerability. Allowing him into the deepest, darkest, most hidden places of our hearts. To lament before God, ladies and gentlemen, is not just about crying or being sad or being filled with grief or sadness or pain, but it is about learning to lament in a painful way while still understanding that God wants to use our seasons of lament to conform us into the image of Christ. That even in the tough and the hard and the difficult moments, that God can, yes, use even that to conform and shape our hearts into the image of His Son. So with that in mind, now that we understand what lament is, let's examine Psalm 32, verse 1 through 11, as we seek to answer this probing question, if you will. What does this text teach us about lamenting? What does this text teach us about lamenting? First thing this text teaches us, the first line in your bulletin, if you're writing notes, taking notes, good students take notes, and I know you're good students, so write this down, the first bulletin, the first thing that the text teaches us is that the season of lament or lamenting sometimes comes with the burden of silence. The burden of silence. David exposes a truth that we, in honesty and transparency and vulnerability, must take careful note of. Notice what he says in verse 3 and 4. We heard it, but let me read it to you again. David says, "For when I kept silent," I'm reading from the English Standard Version, "my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up by the heat of the summer." David, through poetic language, is attempting to paint a beautiful picture for the reader to see that the burden of silence in his life was painful and exhausting. Silence, as David shows us, can eat away at you internally. But more often than not, we live in a culture, we live in a society where people are afraid to speak up. People are afraid, maybe it's shame, maybe it's guilt, maybe it's embarrassment, maybe it's selfishness, maybe it's pride. It doesn't matter what it is, there's nothing good that comes from carrying the burden of silence. The don't ask, don't tell, the don't speak up, the don't say anything about it. David said that when I was in that place, when I kept silent, he says in the text, I was wasting away from the inside out. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is what happens when we try to hide what God wants to heal. We are not designed, in case you didn't know, we're not designed to handle our problems or bear the weight of our own sin alone, because Isaiah 53 4 through 5. It's not on the screen, but let me read it to you. You may have heard it. It says, "He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds," or your translation may say stripes, "we are healed." I read this passage because it serves to prove David's point to us, that we were not designed to carry the burden of silence. We don't have to carry the burdens of shame or guilt or pain or past issues or flaws or sins, because Jesus carried it to the cross. We don't have to carry the burden of sin, because the season of lament will challenge us to think that we have to be silent and quiet, and we can't talk and we can't say and we can't openly confess and we can't share, that we have to keep it to ourselves. And like David, we will feel that our bones are wasting away. But Jesus reminds us, "I took that to the cross so that you don't have to carry it on your own." In the season of lament, we learn that there is a burden of silence. Second thing we learn in the season of lament is the benefit of confession. The benefit of confession. Notice what David says in Psalm 32, verse 5. I love this. He says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." This is a beautiful example of the benefit of confession, because David shows us that when we confess our sin to the Lord and do not hide it from him, he will forgive us. He will forgive us. I recently saw this play out in my own life. Some of you may or may not know, my wife and I have a beautiful son. He's 3, and he's into everything. Climbing, jumping, running, everything. crawling, loving it. Recently, a couple weeks ago, we were at home, and my son unfortunately inherited his sweet tooth from his father, and so he likes to eat dessert before his meals, right? And so he came to me, he said, "Daddy, I want some cookies." I said, "No, Harper, you can't have cookies until after lunch." And in classic three-year-old form, he did not understand, so I found myself having a conversation with a three-year-old on why we cannot have cookies after lunch, thinking in my mind, well, really? I mean, it's a cookie. But no, Justin, you have to keep the rule. We cannot have cookies until after lunch. So he hangs his head, and he walks down back to his room. I go into my room, finish cleaning up, doing what I'm doing, and I hear this sound from the kitchen. I run in to see my son crying, sitting next to a stool on the floor. Now, because I'm inquisitive and halfway smart, it didn't take me long to figure out what happened in this situation. My son decided to take the stool. Yes, we have a stool in our house because we're little people. We're short. So we had a stool. I can't reach up to, you know, some stuff I need. Hey, we got to make it work. So we had a stool. So my son takes the stool that we normally use to reach up to the high cabinets, and he decides to stand on the stool to reach on the counter to climb on the counter to get the cookies that I said he could not have. The cookies are out of his reach, and so he must have fallen while trying to get something that was out of his reach that he wasn't supposed to have anyway, but he tried to get it. So I picked him up, dusted him off, wiped his tears. I assured him nothing is bruised, nothing is broken, you're fine. And then I asked him a question. I said, "Harper, did you try to get the cookies off of the counter?" He looked at me and he paused. I'm sure in his mind trying to figure out, should I say I got them, should I not? Should I say I got them, should I not? Should I say I got them? He finally said, "Yes." He lowered his head in a low tone. I said, "Okay, Harper, what do we talk about?" He said, "I can't have the cookies." I said, "No, not yet." As I was thinking and preparing for today, I realized in that small moment, God was trying to show me a lesson between my interaction with my son and his interaction with me, that in that moment, I knew what he had done. I wasn't asking him because I didn't know. I was asking him because I wanted to give him an opportunity to confess and to share so that I can extend grace and love, and even in that moment, correction if needed. I submit to you that the benefit of confession is that we serve a God that when we confess to him, we are not confessing to him something that is a surprise, something that he is unaware of. He knows everything about us. David said, "You know my upright, you know before I get up, you know when I'm going to sit down, you know what I'm going to say before I say it, you know what I think before I'm going to think it." God is not surprised. I'm not confessing something to him that he doesn't know. He just wants to give me an opportunity to acknowledge to him that I know what I did. I know that I did it. I shouldn't have. But then he extends his grace and his love to me. I need you to understand that if you're here and you're not a believer, that we serve a God, and you can be a part of a family of believers that serves a God who wants us to come to him. Not hide from him as Adam and Eve did in the garden when they sinned, but to come to him because no matter what, we know his heart. What do you mean we know his heart? My son could say and admit what he did to me because he knows, even as a three-year-old, he knows my heart because of how I've treated him in the past. Think about this. In the past, has God ever turned his back on you when you did something you shouldn't have? Has God ever made you feel ashamed or horrible or bad because of the sinful things you've done and pointed his finger and said, "I told you so, you shouldn't have done it, you're a horrible person"? No, he's never done that. Rightfully so, he could because he's a holy God, but he has never done that because his heart is for us and he loves us and he wants us to come to him and not hide our sin from him. The text before us teaches us that the benefit of confession is that we can receive forgiveness when we confess our sins to God, and that we have a Father in heaven who has proved himself to us that even in the darkest, most turbulent moments of our lives, even in a season of lament as David is, that God will stand with us, that he will forgive us, and that he will love us. The text before us teaches us that in the season of lament, we can struggle with the burden of silence, but it also teaches us that there is a benefit of confession. Can I give you a third one? Third one is the blessing of understanding. the blessing of understanding. Now, let me go back to the beginning. In the beginning of the sermon, I told you that this psalm is considered a psalm of lament. A psalm of lament is a psalm expressing passionate grief and sadness and sorrow and loss. That is true. It is the second of seven lament psalms. But it is not only a psalm of lament. It is also considered a psalm of instruction. Some of your Bibles, depending on the translation that you have, you should, at the top of the heading, it should say a word, maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L, a maskil of David. Maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L, is a Hebrew term that means to instruct, to teach, or to train. So David is writing this not just as a song to sing and to celebrate and to praise and worship God, but David is writing this with the intent not just to show his lament, but he's also writing this to instruct and to teach and to advise the readers of a valuable lesson that he has learned in his season of lament. But what does he learn? This is what David shows us. Psalm 32, verse 6 through 8 says this: "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely, in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." I believe David wants to teach his readers a valuable lesson. That even in lament, David came to see God and know God and understand God in a greater way. Based upon what we see in David's life and understand through David's life, it is obvious from the text in 2 Samuel and 1 Samuel, we learn from David's life that he has known about God nearly all of his life. From his father Jesse and throughout his lineage, he's known about God almost all of his life. But in this season, God revealed himself to David in a unique and different way. Now, you know David. Maybe you don't. If you don't know David, David was fearless. David was known for being fearless. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, was the same young man who went out in the field as a shepherd boy and killed a lion with his bare hands. David was the same young man who killed a bear with his bare hands. David was the same young man who stood up to a giant nearly three times his size and defeated him when no one else could or would. David was fearless. He was a warrior. He was a king. He was a conqueror. But in this season of lament, the pain of guilt and sin weighed on him so much that he felt like he was going to drown. In the text, he compared what he felt in his heart and in his world around him. He compares it to a great rushing water coming in to overtake him. If you've ever been to the beach, and like me, you're not really a good swimmer, when that one large tidal wave comes in, if you're not bracing yourself, it will literally come over your head and take you under. And that's what David felt. He felt like a constant sea of tidal waves coming in, and he was nervous that it was going to take him under, and he felt like he was going to lose his sanity, but he remembered his God. In the midst of his season of lament, in the midst of his season of pain and turmoil, he remembered his God, and he remembered that God is my hiding place. He felt like he was about to lose it all, but he said, "Wait, not only is he my hiding place, but he will preserve me." In the midst of all that I'm dealing with, in the midst of all of the world that's going on around me, God did not allow David to drift into despair, into hopelessness, into helplessness, but he preserved him and he became his hiding place. The blessing of understanding, even in the darkest moments of our lives, even in the moments where we feel like we are out of control and we have no idea what to do and we are seeking God, the blessing of understanding is that he is not only our forgiving God, but he is our hiding place and he preserves our hearts and our minds. This is why in our sin, even in our darkest moments, we cannot hide from God, but rather turn to him. Confess what we've done, admit, acknowledge, lay it at his feet, knowing that we can receive forgiveness, knowing that he will be our hiding place and that he will preserve us even when it feels like life is one big tidal wave washing over us. The season of lament teaches us, according to David's life, that there is a burden of silence. There is a benefit of confession. There is a blessing of understanding. Can I give you one more? There's the beauty of salvation. The beauty of salvation. This last one is just the extra prize in your happy meal for today. David begins in verses 1 and 2, where we will end our time today. I strategically did not start the sermon with verses 1 and 2 because I wanted to end here, because he begins his psalm and ends it by celebrating his forgiveness. This is a psalm of lament, a psalm of sadness, a psalm of pain and grief and anguish because of his sin. But in the beginning of the psalm, David starts out with, "Blessed is the one who is forgiven." Verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." If you look up the term blessed, it's actually an interesting term. It literally means fortunate. Some scholars suggest that the term fortunate, the way in which David suggests it or puts it, he's literally using it as a congratulatory term to say, congratulations, you are fortunate because you are forgiven. And can I pause today and celebrate all of us in the room and say, congratulations, we are fortunate because we are forgiven. David says, we're fortunate. The term he uses, blessed, and then he uses another term. He says, transgression is forgiven. The word forgiven, interestingly enough, has three different meanings. These are not necessarily for you to remember, but I just want to share them with you. There's three different meanings or suggestions or thoughts around the word forgiven. The first one is to carry away. The second one is to conceal. The third one is to not regard as guilty. To carry away, to conceal, and not regard as guilty. The beauty of salvation in this text is that Jesus carried away our sin to the cross. The beauty of salvation in the text is that he concealed the imperfection of our sin behind the cross and behind the blood of the Lamb, so that when God looks at us, we are pure, not because of what we did, but because of what Jesus did for us. And the last one, my favorite, is that he no longer regards us as guilty. Or in other words, even though we did what we did, God chooses to treat us like we're innocent. David, in other words, is saying to God, I am celebrating the beauty of salvation because you forgave me and did not punish me for the wrong I have done. And ladies and gentlemen, when we see this, what does this have to do with worship? What does this have anything to do with worship? I believe that when we see and stand in the light of all we've done and look at our past and our sins and our mistakes and our failures and our shortcomings and Romans 3 and 23 that says that all have sinned, and when we stand in light of that and look toward the holiness and the grace and the forgiveness of God and how he carried away our sins and how he covered them and concealed them and how he no longer regards us as guilty, that should cause us to want to worship him more and more and more because of who he is and for all that he has done. In the season of lament, whether you're in it now, whether you've been in it before, or whether you may be in it at some point of your life, know that the beauty of salvation is only celebrated when we release the burden of silence, when we embrace the benefit of confession, and when we receive the blessing of understanding, knowing that he is our hiding place and he preserves us. Doing so will help us to see God, and I believe it will cause us to fall at his feet and to worship him. Because even in our lament, God deserves our worship because of who he is and what he's done. So as we leave today, I want to leave you with two questions. If you've heard me before, I try to do this just to get us to think as you talk through with your family today and your D groups, by yourself as you're journaling this week, and as you go through your week on your job or even in your car, think through these two questions. Number one, Have I been hiding something that God wants to heal? Have I been hiding something? It may not necessarily be bad for you. It may be something small, but the reality is, are we hiding things that God wants to heal, but he cannot heal them if we don't reveal them, if we don't, as one of my friends said, drag them into the light of the cross and say, God, here it is. My sin, my pride, my selfishness, my anxiety, my worry, my doubts, whatever your it is, put your it at his feet. Is there something that you're hiding that God wants to heal? And the last question, what does God want to teach me through painful moments? Again, as I said earlier in the sermon, painful moments come to all ages, all races, all genders. It is a fact of life. But I believe that God wants to teach us all something unique, that even in these painful moments, he's still God. He still preserves us. He still forgives us. And he sustains us by his grace. That even in the burden of silence, there is a benefit to confession. That we understand the blessing of understanding, and we see the beauty of salvation. As our worship team comes, let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you that we've had a moment and an opportunity to tackle a hard reality today about lament. Lament touches us in all different forms, but the reality is we are all touched by it. We all feel it. We all understand it. We know what it feels like. Many of us in the room today, we understand what David says. We know what it feels like to be in the midst of that sea and that tidal wave coming to go over our heads, stressed out, worried, frustrated, confused. We don't know what to do. But even in our season of lament, you show us that we don't have to carry the silence, the burden to be quiet. Thank you that we can confess and come before you. We don't have to hide. We don't have to stand in guilt or shame, but we can stand before you because of what Christ did for us. To know that we have the benefit and the blessing of understanding that you are a hiding place. That we can turn to you, not the temporary things of this world, not the temporary satisfactions that the world tries to present to us, but we can turn to you because you are our hiding place from the pressures and the pain of life. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of salvation, that you carried away our sin to the cross, that you concealed the stain and removed the stain of sin from our hearts and our lives, and that you do not treat us as guilty, but you love us as if we are innocent. Thank you for that, Lord. And because of that, we worship you today, and we know that all things are working together as you plan. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.